Well, Father, Lord, I just ask for your presence tonight, your anointing tonight. I ask that your Holy Spirit fill us all up with your anointing, Father, and your love for one another. I praise you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night, that information's going to go forth, the enemy will be thwarted, and we praise you, Lord, for victory. And thank you, Lord, for being with us tonight. We thank you, Lord, for protecting all the communications tonight. There's not going to be any interruptions from the enemy in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome night of restoration in God's people. We thank you for it. Praise God. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests before we get started here? Well, okay. If no one has any prayer requests, let's see. Who is that wireless caller there? Is that...
Hi, yeah, Brother Michael.
Hey, how you doing? Pam?
It's Pamela. Sorry, it's this new phone. I forgot to get it registered.
Yeah, I forgot to put you down. No problem. All right. Hey, Stan and Claudia.
Hello, Michael. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good, brother. All right, let's go ahead and get started. Tonight, we've got some revelations. We've got some sad news. But it's all things work together for God, doesn't it, for those who love God. And I'm telling you, we're seeing God answer the prophecy.
Well, if they get married, she'd move over there so she wouldn't be there. And I look for them to get married.
Well, yeah. I don't care if they get married or not, Judy, but can you mute your phone? That's all right. That's all right. Boy, that means don't never say nothing bad.
Okay, I didn't.
Invite us to the wedding.
Yeah, invite us to the wedding. But anyway, here a few weeks ago, I'm just going to start from the beginning. Here a few weeks ago, we started getting word from the Lord to get rid of idols. Y'all remember, we warned about that. Get rid of your idols. Get rid of any unforgiveness in your heart. Get next to the Lord as close as you can, because the inspector team is coming. That was the words we got. And we harped on it. We talked about it. We even taught a little bit about perfection and holiness and walking next to the Lord and unforgiveness and faction. We talked about all of that. And so having said that, we know that the Lord is always, he's here recently, he has been answering prophecies quicker, very quick. And so last week we had Michael Montana here, and last Tuesday, David and I were sitting down talking, and we were talking about, reckon Michael would be interested in helping us out in the ministry here, and we talked about that a few minutes and said, well, let's just ask the Lord, see what he says about it. And so we asked the Lord. I asked the Lord, and I got a negative verse. I said, well, wait a minute. I didn't believe it, so I just went back and got another one. And that was a negative verse. And then I went in and saw David, and I said, he asked me what I got. I said, well, it wasn't anything good. He said, me neither. So what we did then, we started going back and trying to find out what was the problem. And I knew that a couple of UBM people had some dealings with Michael before, and so we called them and really got some eye-opening information from them. And so with that, I'm going to read a thing that David put together about Michael Montana. It's, who is Michael Montana? And he says, it is our sincere hope that this will work out for the good of all involved. Then he says, Barry and Marilyn Klink reported on 2/12/16, Michael Montana's real name is Michael Carl Cavazos, C-A-V-A-Z-O-S. And his last alias was Michael Triotatos. What's he hiding from? Well, here's a sample. He is a registered violent sex offender, convicted of molesting a girl under 16, sentenced 10/30/2006 to 4 years and a $50,000 fine in Big Fork, Montana. He is on the government website with his picture. And you can go to Registered Sex Offenders and type in Cavazos, and you'll see his picture there. On the website, we have a link to go there, so you can go there and find it. Okay, going on here now. That's not all. Barry and Marilyn Klink, they're part of the outreach as well, witnessed that Michael Cavazos was caught in their fellowship as a sexual predator. George Warnock, he's a well-known Bible teacher, presided in the fellowship trial in Whitefish, Montana. And Michael was found to be a colossal liar, a predator, a womanizer, who seduced a woman in their fellowship, which ended in her divorce, Debbie and Doug. He was found to have lust, deception, and seduction spirits. With seduction and faction, he was able to take out our friends, Tim and Trish Conway. Now, I have to tell you that Tim wasn't an elder. He was not an elder. But they, in turn, Tim and Trish, in turn, took out their family and also Michael and Sue Levesque. Belinda Anderson apparently fell from her own faction. She wasn't affected by Michael, but just from her own faction. So we've got five people there of main people in UBM that has fallen just in the last few days. And the reason we warn you of that is because they are in complete faction. And when y'all remember what we talked about last Thursday night, about faction. If you talk with them, that spirit can get on you in a heartbeat and take you out. And that's what happened to Michael and Sue. They thought that they could go ahead and talk to them. But what they didn't know, obey the scriptures that says, separate yourself from them. Don't have any more. Don't even greet them, it says. And it took them out. Please pray for them all. We love them, but we are not to let anyone be hurt by them. That's why we in leadership here are letting the people know. It's not because we hate them or anything like that. It's to warn you to stay away from factious people. This is serious. People have been set aside for many years in this faction prison. Okay. Last Thursday, David and I called Tim and Michael over, Michael Montana over, and we were just going to, and we had some people, and let's see, I'm just going to read what he said. We called it, David calls it a trial. It was after the prayer meeting. Michael Cavazos said in the trial, I have changed. Well, this is over. I'm sorry. This is over in the Whitefish. I'm going to go ahead and mute everybody. I keep hearing some. Okay. This is in the meeting in Whitefish where George Warnock was in there. I'll get back to the other here in a minute. He said that Mike Cavazos said in the trial, I have changed. And he was told, you liar. You were seen outside so-and-so woman's window in the bushes and in the dark last night. Well, he was a peeping Tom, too. His wife's name is listed as Angie Kropatos, yet another name. So David and I asked the Lord for verses about him. This was about 2 years ago. We had also wanted to ask Michael about coming in, and then we got negative verses. And then, of course, last Tuesday, same thing. Extremely negative. So he has not changed a bit. Five dreams our fellowship received about him say he has not changed. Recent witnesses that he has not changed are Chad and Charity and Malcolm and Barry and Marilyn. He has been a slanderer of myself, this is David talking, and UBM for some time behind our backs. On top of all this perversion, this is still in Whitefish, Montana. On top of all this perversion, he stole money from the Clinks, and Marilyn had a dream of him with the same description as Eve's dream. Also, the nails on his hands were claws and razors, just like Nebuchadnezzar when he lost his mind and was turned into a beast, and his claws grew. Hopefully, one day Michael Cavazos may also be delivered like him. Marilyn spoke the word to him, and he disappeared. And that's what happened in our house, too. When we started revealing to Cavazos what the Lord had given in words and dreams and witnesses that were going to join us by a three-way phone call, Cavazos said that he told the Lord that he was not going to go through this again. Now, he told the Lord that. Can you imagine? Again, this when he said again, that means he's been through this at least twice. And rather than face the evidence and witnesses with Tim sitting there, he said that he would not speak on the conference again, nor speak to UBM brethren, all of which was lies. He said he was not a part of UBM. All this has been spoken by the factious before, and every one of them has lied. He was acting, as all know, as though he was a part of UBM. And that was deception. When I asked, David said, when I asked him to stay and listen to the witnesses, because it was scriptural, and we actually wanted to help him and be sure he was safe for our brethren, he rebelled immediately against myself and Michael Hare. When he insisted on fleeing, I said, if you're not guilty, then you have nothing to fear. And the fact that you are fleeing shows you are guilty. He went upstairs and he grabbed his suitcase and he was out the door to go with Tim to his house, even though he wasn't invited. He was supposed to stay with us every night. Well, he stayed two nights. Two nights. And he couldn't stay here. Those demons wouldn't allow him to stay in the house with David and I. So he went over to Tim's, and he was to come back Wednesday. Thursday. He was to come back Thursday and spend the rest of the time with us. And that's when he got up, went out, invited himself over to Tim. And I thought it was good that Tim saw this, David says, but it didn't seem to make any difference even when I sent him the above evidence of his conviction. Tim tried to pervert Garrett Crawford, who incredulously asked him, haven't you even read the evidence? He said no. In other words, Tim had not even read the evidence. He was still siding with Michael after we had sent him all the evidence about it. The demons have no ears for the truth. So we ask that you pray for our dear friends, Tim and Trish Conway, and the children, Luke and Paul, who received the faction and witchcraft spirits from this seducing evil man. He pulled the common factious trick of seduction through pity on them. Trish, that's when we say that, Tim on Thursday night, that was his night to be the admin for the conference call, had texted me and told me that he wasn't going to be able to join tonight because Michael Montana was in the next room grieving. And so he then was pulled out by that spirit, that sympathetic spirit that all of them use, He pulled that common factious trick of seduction, of pity on him. Now, Trish, Tim's wife, had a dream a couple of years ago that she discovered dead bodies all through her house. And the Levesques were there just like now. And Sue Levesque escaped out of a window. And Trish said that she knew the murderer was still in the house. The spirits of Michael Cavazos are still in that house. This dream has come to pass, except Sue hasn't escaped yet. David says, but for your sake, Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. Revelation 18:4, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come forth, my people, out of her, that you have no fellowship with her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. Titus 3:10 says, a factious man after a first and second admonition refused, knowing that such a one is perverted and sinneth, being self-condemned. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine which ye learned, and turn away from them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Christ, but their own belly, and by their smooth and fair speech they beguile the hearts of the innocent. David says, we have a lot more evidence straight from the Lord, which Cavazos refused to listen to, but he ran just like a cockroach runs from the light. He didn't want to hear the accusations that were against him and try to defend him. Even though he said they were liars, he told David, he said, they're liars. And David hadn't even brought any kind of charges. You know, he hadn't said anything. He said, lying about what? I hadn't said anything yet. But he immediately said that they were liars. A year and a half ago, David says, I corrected Michael Carl Cavazos, alias Montana, alias Trio Tatos, for something he said, that I should not fight with the factious, and that I should not resist them. And David told him, I was not defending myself, but was fighting for the brethren exactly as the word and dreams depicted. And I thought it was strange that he was, in effect, defending the faction. And now I know why. He backed up somewhat and assured me that he thought I was a great preacher of the word. This is when he was talking to him. About that time, he railed against me to others, like Malcolm, until he was told not to call again. Saying things about David like he thinks he's God. He smiles at your face and he stabs you in the back. Also, according to witnesses, he doesn't believe that women can share dreams. And that's just like all the rest of the factions. They don't believe that the dreams are from God. And Michael doesn't believe in numerics. He's King James only. He believes in his legalistic authority over others, but he will not submit to elders himself. There are three couples in larger UBM that know him better than anyone we know, and they say that he was deceiving us. Well, we know, of course, that he was. When Tim got the sound equipment back from Paul Rimmel, Paul was threatening and foolishly let slip that they had someone on the inside of the teleconference reporting to them, that's the factious, and in the beginning of next year, which is now, that's this time now, we will destroy David and UBM. But by the grace of God, the true God, this is easier said than done. Michael Hare believes he is one of the men in his dream that hated grace and deceived people with faction. I don't know if I related that dream to you or not. I had a dream where David was, we were all in a room there, and then these two guys came to the door, and David was teaching something or talking about something. And the two guys at the door, one of them said, there is a spirit of grace in this room that needs to be cast out. And all the people got up and left but five or six. And then there was a lady left that she was a long member. I remember thinking that she's been a member of UBM for quite some time. And then she finally got up and left. And that spirit of grace is where Michael Cavazos does not like to give grace. He likes to receive it, but he doesn't like to give it. And I believe with all my heart that he was the one that was talking. Yeah, Michael Harris believes he is one of the men in his dream that hated grace and deceived people with faction. Malcolm said he was, well, I'll let Malcolm tell that. We have had six or seven warning dreams of faction attacks in our midst since Michael came here for a visit. He was here for 10 days, or 9 days. And there was always a man that represented Michael Cavazos in them. Between Michael Hare and myself, all of the verses we got about this man were negative. This happened a couple of years ago, too, when we asked if he was to minister with us. A few days ago, like I told you, we asked the same thing when the witnesses spoke to us, and we got the same answer. I detected, David says, rejection, anger, legalism, and no grace for those who disagree with him. Witnesses say the same. We are praying this will turn out to his deliverance and our blessing. He said, Michael Hare asked for three heads if this man is the one in Eve's dream below and got them. And that's what I got. I got three heads for this, and I'm going to relate the dream. Eve says, my verse is Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. And verse 5 starts the parable of the sower. And it came to pass soon afterwards that he went about through cities and villages preaching and bringing the good tidings of the kingdom of God, and with him the 12. This verse is what my finger landed on when I asked Father for a word for this dream. And in parentheses, David says, the harvest will soon come after this separation. The bride is being sanctified of leaven to begin the harvest. That's what God's doing. He's separating the tares out of the bride. He's taking them out. Those that don't deal with the sins that the Lord has told you to deal with, he's taking them out. So I'm encouraging you to run after the Lord with all your heart. We're getting real close here. And since we're getting real close, God is getting real serious about the people in his bride. He wants them spotless. He wants them blemishless and running after him. And Eve says, I remember a part of a dream I had this morning where our UBM fellowship was at a very long table with a white tablecloth that had been placed in a field of golden grain. It was heavy with its fruit and was bowed over in humility, the way Michael Montana had described it at the Monday night meeting. David says Michael Montana faked humility, but in fact was far from it. John chapter 4 and verse 35 says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they are white, already unto harvest. David says the harvest is now very close. That's the revival. Eve goes on and she said, there was a beautiful meal on fine white plates set at each place at the table that Father had prepared for us. And that represents the spiritual food of the Word, right? David's place was at the center of the table, and he was dressed in his sky blue shirt and jeans. And that represents the David's, that's being dressed up with the heavenly works. That's David's corporately. We were all gathering here and having joyful fellowship, and we're beginning to sit down to eat at the table together. We were all excitedly anticipating this meal when suddenly a black helicopter rose up over the hill, low to the ground behind us, and a man jumped out of the side door of the helicopter with thick black greased back hair. This is, David said, this is a description given to Marilyn and Eve as Michael Montana or Michael Cavazos. He had a long black trench coat on and black boots. He had on tan pants and a thin tan turtleneck sweater. He was wearing dark sunglasses, and he had a large black automatic weapon pointed at us, meaning he walks in darkness, as Michael Montana / Cavazos has. Psalms 11:2. For lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. This has been happening through Michael Montana for years, though carefully in the dark, David says. We all turned around and looked at him in shock and indignation. David says, surprised at the darkness being revealed in a person we know, like all of the factious attacks before. Merlin was especially indignant. She placed her hand on her hip and stamped her little foot. And we all seem to know this man. David says, but he's not one of us. Michael Montana discarded our authority or correction because he said he wasn't a part of UBM, nor did he want to be. Eve goes on and says, he began shooting at us, and the black helicopter, hovering low to the ground behind him, turned toward us and started unloading its turrets on us. The ammo from the helicopter was on fire as it came toward us all. They seemed to be aiming more for the table and the meal, but they shot at us also. Michael Montana has had a problem with our teachings and has taken aim at them behind our back. Witnesses has told us that Michael Montana was slandering David and UBM for some time. Now, when I heard this dream and David and I had come to that knowledge that there was something wrong with Michael, I went in and I asked the Lord to show me if Michael was the guy in the helicopter. That was on, I believe that was Wednesday. Whenever that, we got this dream, and I got three heads to prove that that was him. Eve goes on and says, the ones who had sat down stood back up when the shooting started. We were all just standing there very patiently waiting for this man to finish. We were at peace, and the bullets were all just whizzing past us. And those, David says, these were spiritual spoken bullets to take out the brethren, but the chosen were not touched. The fiery ones went out before they got to us. Praise God. Ephesians 6:16 says, withal, taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. And all the bullets were doing was making the white tablecloth move around. David had placed his hand on the table, turned to his right, and was calmly talking to someone who was invisible next to him, and he's taking it to the Lord in prayer. He then bowed his head and waited for the man in the black trench coat to stop having his fit of anger, slander, railing, and faction. Everyone seemed kind of bored with this scenario and were just waiting for the interruption to be over so we could get back to our meal. I was floating in the spirit just above the golden grain between the table and the helicopter watching all of this. Then I woke up. Okay, let's go to what David asked Eve. He said, I asked Eve to pray for a dream about this man whom we knew to be Michael Montana in our midst, whom we were told by witnesses was deceiving us. And this is what she sent. Three couples and several dreams and many verses have confirmed this. Don't get enamored by big smiles and spiritual talk, which Michael Montana has never observed himself, according to the witnesses. And here's the dream about Michael Montana that Eve has on 2:10-16. She said, I dreamed I was riding a bicycle down a narrow red dirt path on some land that my father had given me, single-minded and of one purpose, to stay on the narrow path. There was a tall vineyard next to the path. Father's voice was behind me. Song of Solomon 8:11. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Haman. He let out the vineyard unto keepers. Every one of the fruit thereof was to bring 1,000 pieces of silver. Deuteronomy 22:9. You shall not sow your vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of your seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. The father said, look, and as he said this, my attention was drawn to a large red ant bed near the side of the path at the base of the front row of the vineyard. I stopped my bike and watched them as my vision became telescopic. Someone had come and sprinkled a white powdered poison on their path that led in and out of the ant bed, but no harm had come to them. That's a good promise for the elect, isn't it? They just kept on working and walking back and forth over the path, the bigger ones continually stopping and checking on the little ones. Proverbs 6:6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. 7, which having no chief, overseer, or ruler, provideth her bread in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Then the father said, look, and my attention was drawn to the front row of the vineyard near the path, and I saw a grapevine with fake plastic fruit hanging on it. It was standing tall and proud and trying to blend in. And I thought of that verse, unfeigned love of the brethren. And David says, fake love, humility, etc. Paul Rommel is an example of this, who deceived us for over a year and a half, smiled at our face, hugged us while stabbing us in the back and stealing from us. Witnesses said this has been happening again with Michael Montana for some time. So back to Eve's dream. Father said, look, the third time, and a vision opened before my eyes. Some Egyptians had stolen a young man between 16 and 18 years old. I believe this young man represents Joseph. And David says, who was the man-child who was crucified by his own brethren? They stripped him naked and shaved his head and hung him upside down. Genesis 37:4. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And Eve says these Egyptians were very cartoonish looking. David says, the Egyptians are the man of flesh persecuting the man of spirit. Eve says, one was big and fat and very stupid and dull. That's somebody who's not, who doesn't have the spirit, but they're just full of flesh. This stupid also identifies that faction spirit. It makes them every one stupid as a brick. The other was extremely thin and lanky and seemed crazed and wall-eyed. Michael Montana. They were both wearing only leather loincloth, and their heads were shaved, walking in nakedness or sin. The dull, stupid one was holding this young boy upside down by his ankles, while the lanky, stupid one was crouching down on the ground and jumping around the young man, trying to take bites out of him. David says, Michael Montana slandering me while his helpers with the stupid spirits help. Trish and Tim, in that order, are the people taking the lead in this. Everyone has seen this Jezebel spirit rise up just before Michael Montana came. A corporate body of these people worldwide is the dragon seeking to devour the man-child, but failing. And just after this dream, Eve had another one of me, David, going to my own funeral after the crucifixion. My face was glowing and eyes full of light. The verse given by faith at random was Matthew 12:40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. It was apparent that this death was accomplished through a 5-year-old boy having a factious fit and drawing unflattering pictures of me. He was told, that's not David. I rejoice because a resurrection comes afterwards. Eve says, Father then said, biting and devouring one another. Galatians 5:13. For ye, brethren, were called for freedom. Only use not your freedom for an occasion to the flesh, but through love be servants one to another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, even this, in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. And he goes on and says, the young man kept crying out to the Lord and was unharmed by these Egyptians. When Father spoke, the Egyptians stopped what they were doing to the young man and looked at me in fear as if I had said, biting and devouring one another. They fear this revelation coming to light like Michael Montana did. I then looked down, and in my hands was a plate with plastic grapes on it. And Father said, this is their fruit. David says, the deception has always come from people putting on false fruit like Michael Montana Cavazos and his helpers have done. Eve goes on and says, I asked Father for a text for this dream and received Deuteronomy 7:7 with finger on verse 9. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all peoples. David says, Father is looking for quality, not quantity. Verse 8, but because the Lord loveth you, and because he would keep the oath which he sware unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, who keepeth covenant and loving kindness with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to them, to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandment and the statutes and the ordinances which I command thee this day to do them. David says, not one of these factious people obey the word, especially Matthew 18, 15 through 17, where they come to the one they are accusing first. They always go to step three, which is called slander and railing. Eve says, Father spoke to my spirit while walking into work earlier. I am stirring the pot. I will cause the dross to surface. I had been praying that he have mercy on his people and cleanse us. And I looked up dross in my Bible concordant and found this text in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 24 through 26. A painful process, but very rewarding. And it says in verse 24, therefore saith the Lord God of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of my enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee and thoroughly purge away thy dross, and will take away all thy tin, and I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. That's Jesus and the man-child, right? Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, a faithful town. And David says, faction is a process of getting rid of the impurities like dross. And when this process is over, the bride will be pure and be ready for the harvest. Glory, glory be to God. I'm ready, aren't y'all? I know you are. And David says, I receive Psalms 50, verse 16. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, and that thou hast taken my covenant in thy mouth? You know, Michael Montana talks the word, but he doesn't walk it. Seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee, when thou sawest a thief, thou consentedest with him, and hast been partakers with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Michael Montana slandered David to others because he is very competitive, jealous, and ambitious. James chapter 3 and verse 14. But if ye have bitter jealousy and faction in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. In verse 16, for where jealousy and faction are, there is confusion and every vile deed. And Michael Montana Cavazos proved this. Verse 21, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 8. Therefore wait ye for me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the peoples of a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be put to shame for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee thy proudly exalting ones, and thou shalt no more be haughty in my holy mountain. But I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall take refuge in the name of the Lord. And just before Michael Montana Cavazos came, this is David talking, I told everyone, the inspectors are here, and the test is now. Get rid of any idols and unforgiveness and seek first the kingdom. The watchers in Nebuchadnezzar's mind of the beast experience are the angels who inspect and decree the judgment. Faction is the loss of one's spiritual mind, just like Nebuchadnezzar. They have no mind, or they have no conscience of the word. Also like Nebuchadnezzar, many will regain their mind with a new respect and love for God. Boy, and we're praying hard for that to happen too. We're believing for every one of them to come by with a love and a respect for God and their people. Now, I'm going to stop just a minute. I've got a little more to add to it, but I want to stop and see if there's anything that Garrett would like to say or anyone else as far as that goes. Let me unmute everybody. Okay.
I'm here.
All right, Garrett, did you want to share something, brother?
Yeah, I'll take a couple minutes and just share a little personal story that maybe might hit home with a few people as they're hearing this. I know it's a lot to take in. You know, I live up here in Ohio, so I'm about 4 or 5 hours from you guys, and I still stay in contact with everybody down there. I used to live down there. So, you know, during this time when Michael Montana was there, you know, I was hearing bits and pieces from everybody and about what was going on. And basically what I heard was Michael Montana came down and, you know, there was one dream. I'm hearing now there was a multitude of dreams, but there was one dream of a guy showing up in a black coat and then you flipped three quarters and got three heads. It was him or something. And then it was a big witch hunt. And I had talked to Tim about it for a while. And Tim, I mean, listening now, even though I've already made my mind up days ago, but listening now, all the evidence, I'm just blown away how much, you know, Brother Tim withheld from me, even when he was talking to me about what happened. But I forget what day it was. What day did David post the blog, Michael? Is that Thursday or Friday?
That might have been Friday, I think. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking it was Friday.
Okay. So Thursday, I heard, I guess it was the same day you took Michael Montana from David's, or that Tim took Michael Montana from your and David's and went back to his house. I guess Tim called Gabe, and Gabe told me what happened. So I called Tim to see what was going on, and I talked to Tim for about an hour or so. And, you know, he just filled me in on everything, but really didn't fill me in because a lot of it was being left out, and there was a lot of, you know, just not truth being spoke there. But nonetheless, I was listening, and I started to kind of side with Tim. Because I thought, you know, wow, David is just really out of line here. This guy has come down there and was preaching the word to everybody, and everybody was really encouraged, they said, by Michael Montana. I guess he was coming in there like an Absalom, just winning the hearts and minds of everybody and turning people against David. And people were saying, wow, he's so encouraging, and David never encourages us like this. And he was really winning the hearts and minds of people down there, and they were murmuring against David. And so, you know, so Tim told me that he was just the greatest guy in the world, and mean old Michael Hare and David were persecuted demons. So I listened to Tim, and I started to kind of believe Tim, and I started to murmur myself. I mean, I have to be totally honest and transparent. You know, I was not giving David his, you know, the respect he's earned, you know, all these years, just, you know, being a good shepherd. And I was murmuring and siding with Tim, and didn't even know Michael Montana, but thought, you know, he was clearly being, you know, persecuted. So I talked to Tim. I was driving around in my truck, and I talked to Tim for a good hour while I was driving around. Well, I hung up with him, and not long after I hung up with him, I got into an auto accident. I had just bought this newer truck that I liked a lot. It was in mint condition. I haven't been in a wreck in probably 10-plus years. It's certainly not a wreck that was my fault. And sure enough, hung up the phone with Tim, and T-boned somebody, and it was clearly my fault. And but you know, the Lord had grace, because it wasn't. I mean, even though I just got liability in my truck, I did some damage in my truck, and I mean, just like the bumpers all tore up, and the headlights all tore up, and you know, the other people's car will obviously be paid for. But I knew at that moment, I knew who was right and who was wrong, and I knew whose side the Lord was on, even before any evidence, because I hadn't really heard anything. Nothing concrete had come out yet. All this stuff you're talking about now, I hadn't come out yet. So at that point, I knew. I said, Lord, you know, this was you. I know you're warning me. And I just knew. And I repented, and I called a couple brothers down in Tennessee, and I said, listen, I don't know how you're feeling about this, but this is what happened to me. I talked to Tim. Was letting the faction get in me, starting to murmur myself, and starting to believe, you know, David was wrong in this, and that he was out of line, and got in a wreck, and I knew it was the Lord. So I repented, and then about an hour later, you guys posted the blog with the laid out all the evidence about him being a, you know, a sex offender, all the adultery and the cheating and the perversion, and I just knew, you know. But I just wanted to share that you know, that happened, and I'm very grateful the Lord did that to me. You know, give me a little spanking. And so that's about it. But, you know, I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's not everyone, Garrett, that gets a message when they get into a rut like that. God gave you some great insight there, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else got a question or would like to comment? Chad, you got anything you'd like to add? Or hello?
Yeah, hey, Michael. Sorry, I got it on mute usually when you talk. I'm on the other side of the room, so that's why the delay. But, yeah, I feel led to share about a situation that happened to confirm a little bit more what Garrett was sharing. And there's actually quite a bit, but this is what I feel led to share for now. Terry and I have been fellowshipping with Barry and Marilyn Klink. They live a couple hours east of us from where we live here in Gresham, Oregon. And we've had some really good fellowship. There's just some great times with them. They've been a blessing to us, and we're thankful the Lord has connected us with them. We started fellowshipping with them maybe over a year ago now. And well, anyway, the second time we got together with them, we met them for the first time, and it was, you know, that all went great. And then the second time, as we were talking and fellowshipping, at some point could be either Marilyn sharing or me sharing, it didn't really matter. We would just be talking about something the Lord had put on our hearts or whatever, and this invisible spirit would come between Marilyn and I, and I would just feel this just this vile hatred towards her, and it was really vexing, because I had no idea where this was coming from. There was no offense there in my heart towards her or towards Barry whatsoever. And the first thing I did, you know, was I was from inside, I was like, well, besides, well, what is this? You know, after that, I'm like, Lord, what is this? You know, what is going on? Please show me something. If there's something in my heart, please show me. Well, this went on just randomly from time to time, just about every time we'd get together with them in fellowship. Sometimes it would only last maybe a minute or two, and other times it'd be a little bit longer, but it would just, if I recall correctly, it would happen usually about one time during the time that we'd be fellowshipping with them. And a lot of times we'd be with them for, you know, sometimes they'd even have us over. We'd stay the night over there and then just to have some wonderful times of fellowship and prayer. And I knew there was no offense in my heart towards Marilyn whatsoever. And I thought it was kind of, you know, I was looking at Barry sometimes. I'm like, well, I'm not feeling this towards him. Why am I feeling this towards her? I had no idea, you know. And so I just kept crying out to the Lord. And I just, God gave me the grace to put it on the shelf and not try and overthink it or, you know, let it discourage me or, and definitely not let, let it separate us from fellowship with them. So, well, during that time, you know, Michael Montana had been on the conference calls for a while, and there were times he came on, and I would just, I would enjoy what some of the stuff I heard, some of the history stuff he would share. I would just receive from the information that was coming out. But then other times he would come on and I would just feel a terrible vexation in the spirit. I'd be tempted with offense. I'd be tempted with just different stuff that was just, sometimes it just didn't even make sense, but it was a spirit. These were spirits at work and this whole time. And so, and besides that, yeah, I feel I need to bring this up too as a side note. Something was trying real hard to turn me against David during that time. I mean, real hard. David and UBM, but especially David. There would be thoughts thrown in my mind, trying to get me just offended with him over any stupid little thing or misunderstanding situations maybe that were, you know, maybe going on with the ministry. None of it was really personal, but it was more of a just kind of an obscure thing, it seemed. But it was just man, it was vehement. And for the last couple of months, up until a couple of weeks ago, I felt such a demonic buzz at times. I mean, I felt it like an electromagnetic buzz where it would, sometimes it would throw me into confusion and disorientation, but I cast that down because I, you know, usually recognize that right away as witchcraft, and so I'd find up a spirit of witchcraft and it would go. But this electromagnetic buzz thing was getting stronger at times. Sometimes I'd find up a spirit or two or more, and I'd have to really press through and fight through it, and I thought, man, what is this, you know? And I knew I had nothing against Michael Montana personally, even though there was some, a little bit of stuff that had happened in the past, stuff that my wife Charity and I had witnessed. I had pretty much, you know, put that aside, put it down, and dealt with my own heart because that's what I needed to do at the time. So I knew it wasn't any personal offense, but yet the enemy was just tempting me and working at, you know, working against me to try and get me, you know, separate from David and the ministry. And so these demonic attacks got stronger and stronger up until about, and I'll get back to the thing here with Barry and Marilyn in a little bit. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I'm just feeling like I'm supposed to. So up until maybe, what was it, maybe two and a half weeks ago now, I had a dream, a very vivid dream, and I know it was actually an experience in the spirit that really happened. I was in a sleep state, and in this dream, I was in my living room, and I was looking across at the front door and out the entryway, and this demon with its red, bright head poked its head out of the closet, because we have a closet in the entryway, by the entryway that goes out our front door, and just grinned at me, this big, evil grin, and I had never seen anything quite like this. It had kind of like a fiery red face, and and I felt terror fill the room, and I felt this in the dream, so I went into this travail, this groaning travail in the dream. And a lot of times when I've experienced this in a dream or a night vision, I usually, every time I would wake myself up, I'd wake up groaning. Well, this time I didn't. I was physically really exhausted, but in the dream, I believe the Lord, through me, was doing some spiritual warfare. Charity asked me, I think it was later that day, either that day or the next day, you know, were you dreaming last night? Because, you know, she heard me at times doing that, and she was actually out in the living room, and the door to our bedroom was closed, and so I was really groaning in the spirit. And after that, something broke in the spirit because I wasn't feeling that demonic buzz really anymore. And so something happened, something had, you know, come to a head there. And so, Barry and I went and we fellowshipped with Barry and Marilyn yesterday. We had a great time with them. And towards the end of our fellowship, the Lord brought to my attention that, hey, I haven't experienced that you know, that feeling of that, whatever it was, that antagonistic, repelling, repulsive feeling I would feel from just randomly, usually at least once when we get together with them. I felt peace the whole time. I felt the joy was just growing as we fellowshiped. We had some good fellowship with them. It was about for about 3 or 4 hours, and it was just getting better by the, you know, by the hour. And it just came to my attention. The Lord brought to my attention, hey, I haven't felt that at all. And right then the Lord spoke to me. Well, that was the Spirit that was working through Michael Montana. And so I felt I should share it with them. Charity was sitting next to me, and Barry and Marilyn were there. We were sitting at a table at a coffee shop, and I just felt impressed real quick to share it with them, just lay it out there. I said, hey, you know what? And I was looking right at Marilyn, and I was talking with her, and I said, you know, at times when we've been talking, I would feel this. I don't remember exactly what I told her, but I said, I feel this spirit of division. It was something trying to divide us, and it was, I mean, it was dark. It was very demonic. And I said, you know, she said she never sensed anything. I guess I never even showed it on my face, which kind of surprised me, because I wondered at times when I was looking at her before, and I would feel that thing, and like, man, what is that, you know? And it just felt, it was a spirit of vile hatred. And, but she was not aware, you know, nobody was except the Lord, me. And so I felt, well, I'm just going to lay this out there, bring it out in the light. So I shared that, and the Lord said that was coming through Michael. That was coming through Michael, you know, Cavazos. And and then I felt like the Lord wanted me to share that, you know, with the body. And as soon as I mentioned that, I mentioned it to Marilyn. I think the Lord's going to have me share this. I got attacked. My shoulders and my neck just stiffened up big time. And I felt that electromagnetic buzz thing coming against me again. And instead of just binding up the spirit of witchcraft kind of quietly, which I've done before, and it would just, you know, break, I felt to lay it out there and see what the Lord would do. So I just say, hey, I'm being attacked right now. Let's pray. Can we pray? And so Marilyn felt led to pray, and she prayed. And after binding up a couple of spirits, she came to a spirit of witchcraft and voodoo. And as soon as she said that and bound up the spirit, it left. It just lifted right off me and broke instantly, which was another confirmation of that. So the Lord has been really good to put the pieces of the puzzle together. He's been doing that, and you know, teaching me about when I'm discerning stuff. He's been working with me on this for, you know, some time. When I discern things, I don't just blow them off or just forget about them. But I'm learning the difference between that and lifting my burdens to the Lord and really leaving them before Him and letting Him, you know, do His good work in me, make sure I'm guarding my own heart with all vigilance. That's been the cry of my heart for a long time, because in the past I was spiritually slothful and I suffered for it, rightfully so. And the Lord has taught me some, you know, discipline through a lot of chastening and a lot of patience with me. And so I think because I laid it on the shelf after every time it happened, that situation between Marilyn and I, and just kept the burden before the Lord, that I wouldn't even think about it, really. You know, we'd get back together with them in fellowship, and I would really look forward to it. We'd have a great time, and that thing would just it would just show up now and then invisibly. But it was very real, very dark. And so anyway, that broke, that left, and then the Lord confirmed what that was. So I didn't have, Barry and Marilyn were very, very good to say nothing about the situation with Michael, because, you know, they knew things, and they were very good. We just asked them once if they knew him, because he had, you know, it was after he had left the conference call, and he came back on again for a while, and we just asked, you know, we brought it up, and I asked them if they knew him, and they just kind of smiled, said, yeah, man, you know, they just prayed. They were very, very mature, very, very good about that. So we're...
All right, where'd he go? Hello, can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me?
Yes. I can hear you.
Okay, we just lost about 10 people for some reason. That's weird. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I command the spirits of witchcraft and voodoo out of this conference call in Jesus' name. I command you to cease your works right now in Jesus' name. You cease now, Satan, from pulling these people off the conference call in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that communications will be established. You will be exposed, Satan, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for that. Praise you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hang on just a second. All right. Yes. All right. Thank you, Lord. I got David to pray in, too. So. Then we had 27 people on there a while ago. We've got 14 now. All right, Father, we thank you for restoring everybody back to the conference call in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's see what I'm getting some. Uh-oh. Chris says, I just got kicked out of conference call and can't get back in. So let's all pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that the enemy has been defeated. We take authority over him. We have authority over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus, we command the powers that be that are coming against the people from getting back on to cease right now. And we command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you to cease your activities against them and allow them to come back in right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Everybody in here agree? There comes Gail. Praise God. So that's what's happening. They're coming back. Thank you, Lord. Hang on, y'all. I got a call from Malcolm. I just talked with Chris and Malcolm, and both of them said they tried to come back on and could not get back on. They're getting a busy signal. So we need to pray and pray this thing out of here. In the name of Jesus, we command those spirits that have affected the communications to come back into conference call to cease right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're going to open it back up to them, Father. Missy got cut off, and she got kicked off. David Nelson got kicked off. And let's see. Yep, they're all saying they're busy. Hey, David.
Yeah.
All right, we're losing more. In the name of Jesus, y'all hang in there with me. We're having a major attack here, and I believe it's coming from over there in Montana. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus right now, we thank you, Father, for bringing everybody back, bringing them all back, Father. It's going to be even better, and we're even going to stomp on the devil more in the name of Jesus. Devil, your own notice. We're going to stomp on you just like the song says. We're going to stomp on you all night long if that's what it takes. Because we are children of God. You don't have any authority over us. And we cast you out of this room and off of this Uber conference in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for opening up the avenues back for the people to come back home, Lord, and rejoice and praise you, Father. We just praise you, Lord, that you have opened up the communications lines for these people to come back home. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Y'all believe that? I hope y'all are believing with me.
Amen, amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. It's the strangest thing, but I know. Y'all know it's witchcraft, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. That's been... Yeah, go ahead.
I've just been sitting here praying in the spirit against it.
Amen. 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 Father, we thank you that you're going to open it up for them to come right back on in, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Just praise you, Lord, for doing that for us. We just thank you, Lord, that everybody that went off are going to be able to come back on. We're all going to be blessed by your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, we've got a, I counted a while ago, we had 27 people on. We now have 12. And it happened that quick. That's never happened like that again before. I'll tell you something else that happened the other night. Y'all remember when last Thursday night when I got knocked off? Did I tell you what happened? What happened was this. Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what happened. The lights went out in my room. My iMac went dead. The lights went out. The clock started blinking. And I came right back on about a second or two later. And then it went out again. And then come back on. I jumped up, went outside, and the lights were on in the rest of the house. And I asked David, I said, did the lights blink? He said, no. I said, they've been going on. I said, my room just went complete dead. Lights, the computer, the clocks, everything just went dead. That was witchcraft. That's when I came back on. Tim was extolling the virtues of Michael Montana. There comes Chris. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I see you got back on, Chris. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers.
Amen. Praise God. Michael, I went in the old, I used the old number. The other one is all jacked up.
Okay. You used the old number?
Yeah.
The 800 number?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's fine. Wonder what happened there. Hi, David.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. David's talking to Kevin to find out how he can get everybody back on. But anyway, lost power in here. And when I came back on, as y'all probably already know, is that Tim was extolling the great virtues of Michael Montana. Now, this was after we had told Tim what had happened with Michael. So he was in rebellion right then. He was in faction right then. And then he told about what had happened in the Monday night prayer service. Well, he twisted that around to make it sound like a good thing. What had happened, it was actually like a demonic possession. He was hollering at the top of his voice, it seemed like, and just hollering all through one of the songs and hollering, and we figure out what's going on, and he was talking in an unknown tongue that was completely void of what he's, you know, used to. And what had happened is the Lord took him to hell. And he claimed it, that the Lord was showing him wickedness. Well, yeah, he was showing him his wickedness for allowing Michael Montana into his house and into his life without any kind of discernment whatsoever. So that's what happened Tuesday night. This was after we had already told Tim about Michael. Okay, let's see. We've got, we still like a lot of folks, and I'm not sure that they're going to be able to come back on. We lost Garrett, we lost Chad, we lost Malcolm, Missy, a bunch of other ones too. But anyway, I'm going to go on. I'll get it on the recording anyway. Okay, Eve goes on. She's talked this, says, let no man take thy crown. She had this on the 7th of February. The Lord is only using me in this dream because of my name. Of course, you know her name is Eve. And David, because of his name. I certainly am not manifestly perfect, and I hope I will attain to that position of the bride of Christ. But it is all dependent on our obedience to what he requires of us. Father is the only one who knows what is best for us and what will truly make us happy. Father has given others warning dreams for my family also. And by his grace, I will overcome and pass my own test. I'm nobody, only a messenger. And David says, I agree with Eve. I am only a lowly messenger who has to pass my own tests by God's grace. We were all at the morning prayer meeting with David and Michael at the mountain house. This is the dream. The house was a little different, though, in the dream. There were no stairs or closet behind David's chair, but more seating, and more people were there seated behind him. Behind him, David said, this is to local and larger UBM. David was sitting in the maroon chair that he used in his UBM Bible study videos. And the chair was in the spot where he currently sits at the morning prayer meeting. Those studies were to those aspiring to the high calling of the bride. David was dressed in very fine white linen, representing our spiritual husband, Jesus, the son of David, and the man-child. He was standing next to his chair, facing a woman in the seat next to him. He very lovingly asked her to do something, or was requiring something of her. She then folded her arms across her chest, raised up her head, stuck out her chin, and absolutely refused his request, just like Queen Vashti did. In type, David said. I'm going to stop here just a second and tell you this. If y'all would send in your email addresses, we can group email every one of you as to what's going on in this thing. Just send your email addresses to me or to Robin, either one. Some of you have my address, and I don't mind. Well, I'm kind of hesitant, but anyway. If you'd send in your email addresses, give Robin your email addresses. We need every one of his email address. And when we have a conference call subject coming up like we had tonight, I'll be able to email you, every one of you, and give you a heads up to what we're going to do, if that's all right. And I thank you. Listen, also, if you have dreams about people in the local UBM here or anywhere, you know, that you want to share with us only, just send those in too. Oh, my goodness. What was that? Oh, that's Linda. I forgot to mute you, Linda. Sorry. Okay. Let's see here. I see Mike, you made it back. Michael Green.
Can you hear me? Hear me, Michael?
Yes, I can. David, is that you?
Yeah, I had to come in on the internet. I couldn't get into my cell phone. So
okay, all right, that's good. Praise God, you came through that away. Michael, how'd you get back on?
I just called just now.
Okay, that 423 number.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So apparently it's gotten. Oh, okay. Let's see. We got 10, 15, 19. Yeah.
I was cut off, too, but then I finally got back in after about 15 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay. There was 12 or 13 people that got knocked off at the same time. It's witchcraft. Ain't no doubt in my mind.
Good grief.
Can I suggest something?
Yeah.
If everybody's got the internet, you can use Google to get in, and it's under a program called Hangouts. Dial in that way, but you can't use your phone ever.
Yeah, you can use Google, or you can use Skype. You can use any of those free internet call-ins. Oh, my, we're getting them all back now. Praise God. Everybody's coming back on. Okay. Well, all right. I'll continue on. But anyway, I'll I'll address this again at the end here, just in a minute, about emails. Okay, let's see. Let me see where I was here. Okay. She then folded her arms across her chest and raised up her head and stuck out her chin and absolutely refused his request, just like Queen Vashti did. David says, in type, Vashti rejected the man-child David's, who are God's messenger here, and so she was rejecting Jesus and the Father who live in the man-child David's, who then rejected her. John 13:20 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. David says, Vashti had no love for her head or the people to whom she was a bad witness. Like Vashti, some are rejecting the call to go before the king because they have idols, which are things loved more than being called to stand before the king. Luke 21:34. But take heed to yourselves, lest haply your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that day come on you suddenly as a snare. For so shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of all the earth. But watch ye at every season, making supplication that ye may prevail to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. That's the king. He then, David, became angry with her and cast her out of his house and told everyone there that this is what happens to the rebellious ones, just like King Ahasuerus did in Esther to his rebellious wife. Eve goes on, we were all very sad at what happened and hung our heads in despair. David then pointed to me. David goes, Eve, a type of the new bride, and told me to come up and take the woman's place next to him. He then smiled at me and asked me to marry him, just like it was with Esther. I feel Father is warning that some are in danger of losing their position in the bride if they continue to ignore the dreams and admonitions Brother David has been given from God. Please make sure that you don't have idols in your heart, or Father will allow you to be deceived and to go your own way. Repentance will bring revival. This is from Belinda Anderson. Y'all be sure and mute your phones, please. David says, just before Belinda fell into faction, she had this dream. She said, I had a dream this morning. I'm going to have to mute everybody. I'm sorry. Somebody's not being able to mute their phone. Let's see. Oh, good. Everybody's back, it looks like. Yeah, praise God. Okay. Said, I had a dream this morning that began with me looking out my back door into the pasture beyond. David says, our body is our house. Looking behind our house is looking into the recent past. She said, I was standing there looking through the glass door as the morning was dawning, sipping on my cup of coffee. This particular pasture or field is home to 7 horses. David says, Jesus said the field is the world, so I suspect this is a worldwide scenario. And Belinda goes on and says, most of the horses in this pasture are rescue horses that have come here to live out their lives in this peaceful pasture. David says, the 8th horse in that field died recently, so this parable could be complete. Psalms 82:4, rescue the poor and needy, deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. the seven horses are the seven churches of Revelation who were born long ages ago and now are very old in their end times, waiting to see the Lord. Praise God. And Belinda goes on, as I was taking in the entire scene before me, I suddenly saw movement in the distance to the left of me in the pasture. I saw a man with a shotgun sneaking into the back of the pasture. I looked at his face, and he appeared to be very angry and agitated about something. His face looked distorted to me as if he were demon-possessed. Michael Montana, Cavazos. Psalms 37:32, the wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. David says the demon-possessed man who is angry represents the factious seeking to slay with slander their righteous. Psalms 11:2, for lo, the wicked bend the bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. Proverbs 25:18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. And Belinda goes on and says, I watched as he slowly crept up the pasture and stopped. Then he raised up his shotgun and pointed it at one of the horses. I thought to myself, is he going to shoot that horse? Just as I had that thought, he discharged the shotgun and the off-white mare fell to the ground with large bullet holes through her heart. Mike David says, Michael Montana Cavazos has shot the horse. Tim and Trish died, and they killed others. Psalm 64:3. Who have wet their tongue like a sword, and have aimed their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret places at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him, and fear not. And Belinda goes on and says, and she fell hard with a thud to the ground. Blood was gushing out of the horse, and in no time at all, there was a large pool of blood on the ground. David says the off-white mare represents the Philadelphia church of brotherly love, whom the demons in the factious seek to crucify to make them pure white. The dragon seeks to destroy the woman, in whom is the bride. This is the bride under the man-child's guidance, his white horse. And Belinda goes on and says, this angry man quickly turned around and began to leave the same way he had come into the pasture. David says, this turnaround for them brings us to the future. But suddenly in the spirit I heard, command him to stop. So I did. I said, in the name of Jesus, stop. And as I spoke that command, this man went down on his knees hard to the ground. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. David says, by commanding the demons who control the factious to cease their operations, the factious were freed. Let's all do this. Belinda goes on and says, I began to pray earnestly for this man. So let's do it, y'all. I asked the Lord for mercy and to grant him repentance unto salvation. I said, Lord, I don't know what happened to this man to make him so angry and to take his anger out on this poor innocent horse. But Lord, I'm asking you for mercy because you know why this man did this. David says, let us pray for the factious to repent and be free of faction, slander, and witchcraft. We have seen this in many dreams, and we believe it is near to come. Belinda says, just then I saw a group of people coming into the pasture from the other side to see what was going on. So I went out into the pasture, stood over by the dead mare, and kept on praying. I could hear what these people were saying as they were heading towards me. I heard, why would that man shoot that poor old horse like that? Somebody ought to shoot him. Then I heard someone say, he's probably strung out on drugs or something. I just heard a lot of judgment coming from these people. David says, those who are onlookers and have seen the injustice done by the factious, but not recognizing that God was granting them to repentance, are still in judgment mode. Faith must precede the miracle. And Belinda goes on, she says, I looked over at the man that shot the horse, and I watched him get up, and he started walking over to where I was standing by the dead horse. He walked up to the horse, stooped down, put his hand on the horse, and what he did next was just amazing to me. This man began to apologize to this dead horse, excuse me, for taking his anger and frustration out on this poor old horse. Suddenly, this horse began to stand up, which was just amazing because it was still bleeding from that large gunshot wound. David says, the elect among the factious repent and ask for forgiveness as the Philadelphia church is resurrected by the life of Jesus. Belinda goes on and says, the onlookers were amazed as well. I looked at their faces and they were just astonished. David says, watching a life change is an impressive testimony of the power of God to save. The world hasn't been seeing this. Belinda says, then I heard the man say to the horse, please forgive me. I am so sorry for shooting you. David says, we must pray for Michael Montana Cavazos that Father will redeem him. And just as this man finished speaking his apology, the horse's wound disappeared along with all the blood. There was not one shred of evidence left where this man had shot this horse. David says, this represents resurrection restoration for the bride from her crucifixion at the hands of the factious. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7 says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and none shall shut, and that shutteth and none openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door open, which none can shut, that thou hast a little power, and didst keep my word, and didst not deny my name. Behold, I give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are Jews, and they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Michael Montana? Maybe. Because thou didst keep the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, that hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out thence no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem. And that's who the Lord called the bride, right? Which cometh down out of heaven. In other words, the bride is being born from above. From my God and mine own new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Revelation 21 and 9. Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It was a miracle, Belinda says, and everyone standing there knew it too. I believe this represents that the man's sins had been forgiven. David says the people will see the power of God granting repentance to the factious and will come to God. Hebrews 8 and 12, for I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more. David says those who didn't take part in the faction see the resurrection, restoration life of Christ in the bride and repent. I said, Belinda says, I said to all these people who had come into the pastures, now would be a good time to ask the Lord for forgiveness of your sins. And they all did. I watched as they all got down on their knees and cried out to the Lord to forgive them of their sins and for judging this man. They came to realize that they were no better off than he was. Matthew 7 and 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And she goes on and says, after we all prayed, I said, now we need to worship and praise the Lord for what he has done for all of us this day and for this awesome miracle he did for this old horse. Psalms 126:2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the nations, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Psalm 77:14. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast made known thy strength among the peoples. Belinda says, then I watched as the old mare began to walk, slowly at first, and then she began to pick up speed until she was running at a full gallop all around the pasture. She was running like a yearling again. The Lord restored this horse back to her youth. David says, we have seen this useful. Somebody needs to mute there. Let's see who that is making all that racket. Somebody's breathing in their microphone. Okay. This says, David says, we have seen this youthful restoration of the bride in many other dreams. Age represents creeping death at the hands of the curse. Youth represents born again in soul and body. It represents resurrection life. Belinda says, I woke up from this dream singing, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh, praise God. Well, that's it as far as what I had to share tonight. Just be in prayer for Tim and Trish Conway and their family, Michael and Sue Levesque, and also Belinda. They're all right now in faction, but we're praying for their deliverance, and also Michael Montana. We're praying for his deliverance as well. And we just ask God for mercy and grace upon their life in the name of Jesus. Did Chad make it back? Yeah, there you are, Chad. Did you want to go ahead and finish what you were saying, brother?
I can do that. Where did I get cut off at?
That's a good question.
Malcolm said it was some. That's okay. Malcolm said I think it was around where I was sharing that Marilyn had she prayed, and after she bound up the spirit of voodoo and witchcraft, that thing lifted right away, and so I was pretty much done. I think I got out what I needed to share, but that was really good. That dream was powerful, and the point the Lord is making there, and you know, I'm praying for, you know, Michael Montana, Michael Cavazos, and we're searching our hearts, and we want to make sure that, and that's it's a good habit. I'm thankful the Lord has taught me is the first place I look is my own heart, not, let's see, who's the problem around me here, you know, when something happens, but it's like, no, it's, you know, look, make sure am I clean, am I right before the Lord, and then if the Lord does want to expose something else, and, you know, I want my heart to be in a right place where I can, you know, where I am forgiving and I'm able to pray for them, you know, with a heart to want to see them repent and get right with the Lord, no matter what they've done. And I know one of the things that, another thing too, that they, you know, that Satan was trying to get me to do during these several months of a trial was to get me offended in any little way he could. Because if I get offended, that means I'm unforgiving. And if I get an unforgiveness, of course, I bring myself under a curse and not right with the Lord. And then we got a whole nother problem. He gave me the grace to just let him do his good work. And I pray he does it. And everyone you just mentioned on there, I just agree with that. And we're, looking forward to, you know, this continued good work that what the Lord's going to bring out of this good work he's doing, because we're just seeing more and more how, you know, how it's so necessary. The sifting is needed, and it must happen. The word of the Lord must be tried in us, and I pray it come forth pure in all of us, that we be, you know, we be found ready and right with the Lord. And a verse that he's brought to my attention again, and he brought to me a while ago, and he's been reminding me of it again. I've been thinking of it often, is Zephaniah 2:3. It's this, seek ye the Lord, all you meek of the earth that have kept his ordinances. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, it may be, you will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And something that really stands out to me from that is, you know, it says, seek ye the Lord, all you meek of the earth. So he's speaking to the righteous here, but yet he's saying, seek righteousness, seek meekness. Get, you know, doesn't matter, you know, how much we've walked right before the Lord, which has all been by his grace, and he gets all the glory for that. But he's saying we need utter and, you know, he's looking for utter and complete purity and holiness. And so I pray he find that in us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now I'd like to ask Malcolm, do you have anything you'd like to share, brother?
Well, a little bit of feedback there. I got three phones. I've got I had one on speakerphone, and my battery's getting low on the cell phones. I mean, on the cordless. Yeah, I probably should, whether I want to or not. I just want to say something to Michael Montana. I just, you know, I've had a lot of really nice fellowship with him that really, you know, I felt it was a blessing. And you know, it's he's going to be missed, you know. So Lord, and I just pray that the Lord will grant you repentance, Michael. If you're listening, if you get a copy of this recording or something, that he'll grant you repentance, and that you know, it's hard. This kind of thing is hard. Any of us could be there, but for the grace of God, you know. So. The other thing I want to say is, you know, just all this, you know, this coming to light of the sexual predator thing, the molesting of this girl, and there's probably much more than that that hasn't necessarily seen the light yet. But, man, I mean, the Lord pulls people out of all kinds of situations, and you know, even if I found that out before all this happened, it wouldn't, you know, I'm not going to, you know, I don't think God's few people would hold anything against anybody else if they're walking in repentance, you know, and, you know, I would, you know, if I'd seen that before, I would say that was then, and this is now. It's just that the Lord has made it clear that, you know, that there's some continuity there that hasn't been dealt with. So that's, you know, and I really support David's stance and all you guys there at UBM, your stance on Michael and what's happened here. Let me just say on the conference call, you know, I talked to Michael and Angelica quite a bit on the phone, and every time a woman would speak on the conference call, I'd get this uneasy feeling like, okay, now what's Michael thinking, you know? I'm talking to Michael Montana. And, you know, I know, Michael Hare, you've had to deal with some situations where some women got into teaching and you know, probably more privately than you did on the conference call directly. But, and I'm not talking about that, I'm talking about a feeling that I got because of my contact with Michael Montana. Whenever a woman would get on and start speaking, I'd be nervous because I'd be feeling like, what's Michael thinking? Is she getting beyond Michael's comfort level? And that was just not healthy. And for me to be feeling like that on the conference call, because it's a fellowship. And there's nothing in the Bible that would mitigate against a woman sharing or, you know, her dreams or prophecies or vision. I mean, a good night. I mean, it's just well, I shouldn't say good night. But anyway, that element to me was just not healthy at all, because it really seeded my mind, and it made it so I couldn't really appreciate a lot of the stuff that was shared on the conference call. Now, Michael Hare, you and Tim could see who was on and who wasn't on at any given time, and I don't know if you can, if you want to share what you were observing during that time. But anyway, I think this whole thing, this attitude toward women, is just really, really dangerous and divisive. And I'm glad to see that element out of the conference call. I'm not saying I like to see Michael out of the conference call, Michael Montana. I'm just saying you know, we all want to see the conference call become more, you know, less leaven and more just God, you know, and not have to have other elements in there where we're really nervous about what somebody else is thinking. That isn't good. I remember back in 2008 when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I was getting, I was just starting to learn the ways of the Spirit and whatnot, and I was really getting pretty demonstrative in my worship with the little fellowship I was in, and I was so involved, I almost didn't care about whatever the other people thought about me waving my arms and flags and, you know, all these things that I had totally, most of my life I'd never even experienced any of this stuff, and I was just all gung-ho and involved. And one thing I really liked about that fellowship was that nobody ever criticized me. I remember one lady saying, "Malcolm, it's just so wonderful to see you worshiping the Lord like a little kid," or whatever she said. And I thought, you know, I don't feel any condemnation from anybody. And what I mean to say by sharing that little experience from way back when was, I really want to see this conference call. Not that what I want is, you know, but we want to have freedom in our worship. We want to have, we don't want to have some kind of underlying condemnation that's kind of seething there. And I think that element was very damaging to me, and I don't know how it affected other people, but I was just cognizant of that because of my own experience talking to Michael and Angelica. And so I guess I could leave it at that. I really appreciate, like I said before, a lot of the getting in contact with folks and whatnot with Michael Montana. He, you know, he has a lot of neat connections, and you know, I'm just I think all of us are praying for a better day here. So,
well, Malcolm.
Yes.
I appreciate what you just said, brother, because that is exactly how I feel about the conference call. I want it to be wide open. I don't want anybody to have any fear of speaking, that if something's going to be held against them or anything like that. How do we get? How do we attain to that level? What's the hindrance, you think? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot, you know, but I'm looking for answers to try to get more people involved and to open up our hearts one to another so that we can get into that one accord that God wants us to be in. What's the hindrance?
I don't know because what I'm relating is my newfound relationship with the Lord. Being able to speak in tongues, walking in the Spirit, and I had these brothers and sisters around me that actually I didn't really know what was deep in some of their hearts, and some of them were very involved in the false revival. I didn't know that. But it was just an atmosphere of, I just felt no hindrance at all there. I was just reveling in all of that. I think this faction thing, the latest thing that's happened, I think, as hard as it is for all of us, I think a lot of us don't realize how hard it is because we're just so baffled. We're so shocked by all this stuff. And yet it's good because I think it will facilitate, it'll help to facilitate as the body's purified, as the conference call is purified, if I can say that. I don't know, because we're such a kind of a small, interesting little subset of, you know, much bigger picture, but I think as it's purified, I think that fluidity, the flowing in the Spirit, I think that will come naturally. as the individuals are, you know, it's any time you have a corporate anything, it's a sum of the parts, and so as the parts are coming closer to Jesus, or the parts that are God doesn't want in there, I mean, we add, I think this will all happen. I don't know. I kind of doubt there's any formula.
Well, you know, at one time we were a whole lot more freer than we have been. You know, where people would share and even sharing songs. Malcolm, I remember once she brought out the piano and we sang, you know, some songs with you on the conference call. I mean, it wasn't the greatest sound in the world. Not to say that you're not a good pianist, but it's just the audio.
Yeah, audio was pretty wild.
but it was awesome, and I long to get back to the place to where we trust one another, and we don't mind opening up our hearts to one another, and that's what the conference call is about. It's not about me getting up here teaching or anybody else as far as that goes. It's about asking questions. It's about fellowshipping. It's about praising God and worshiping God if we want to, doing whatever the Holy Spirit leads each one of us to do. If the Lord leads somebody in here to share a verse of Scripture, you know, share that Scripture, and we have been doing that here lately a little bit better, but you know what I mean. It's just opening up, and I think you're right. I think God is, not only is he cleansing the fellowship here, he's cleansing the outreach fellowship as well. Amen.
Hey, Michael?
Yeah, Chad?
Time, but oh well. I want to just concur with what Malcolm said. I was just thinking the same thing. I think that'll just come with the purity, you know, because there were times I wanted to share stuff, but I just really felt the Lord say, just wait, just pray, and just wait, just be patient, and that'll come. I think that as the Spirit moves and as he is doing the purifying work, I think there was kind of an underlying trepidation there, and I think even some of that was of the Lord, because this thing had to be exposed, and the Lord's purifying us all through it. And so I think the Lord is doing that, exactly what you're praying for and what we're hoping for. So,
Michael? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say also, I hate to say this, but there, I have to recognize that I was at time crying out to the Lord, saying, how long is this going to continue on this fellowship call? Because I felt like it was not a good spirit, and I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't want to. Unfortunately, I was not confident. I'm not very. People have different personalities and whatnot, and I tend to be a little. I don't like to confront people with issues that I might see. And I shouldn't. You know, in retrospect, I should have talked to Michael Montana about this. But I just felt like there was a. Of course, he had told me, you know, a couple of years ago, I think it was, that, you know, how I was one of the people that he was, you know, talking to about how bad David was, how off the ministry was, they used something other than the King James Bible, which was really heretical, and you know, so he was telling me all this stuff, and so when he came back on the conference call, he never said boo to me about why did this change happen? Why is he back on the conference call if he has such animosity? And that's one thing that festered in me, it was just in the back of my mind, was why I'm not comfortable with this, with what he's saying, because this other thing hasn't been made right with Michael here and David and the other, because there's, I was never aware that there was ever a change there, except that now he was speaking and on the conference call. So that was a little bit hard for me. I always had a little reservation when he shared. And Michael Montana, if you're listening, just the way it was, I should have talked to you about that, but I just was uncomfortable doing that. So for whatever reason.
Amen. Well, I understand. But you know, this is a new day. I'm going to I'm going to ask each one of you to search your hearts and to help out in the next, you know, little bit of future here to help me out with these conference calls, because it's on me now. Which ain't no big deal. It's not a big deal. I got a great bunch of people in this conference call. We all have brothers and sisters, we do. We help one another and we share with one another. And I believe it'll open up hearts a whole lot quicker now that we've gotten rid of some of the tear. And of course, we're all praying for Tim and Michael and all of them to come back, Belinda, Michael and Sue and Trish, and all of them to come back. We're praying diligently for them, and we know that some of them will be back, and we pray all of them will. One thing that y'all need to know is this, is that if you get in contact, if they try to contact anybody on the Outreach Fellowship, just for your own welfare, your own spiritual welfare, do not talk to them until God has granted repentance to them, because that faction will jump on you now. I know we've had quite a bit of experience here in the last 4 or 5 years with faction, as y'all already know, and it's a terrible demon. And it doesn't have any, it's not a respecter of persons. If you open up the door, that spirit will jump on you. And the next thing you'll know, you'll be out there in la-la land, not wondering what in the world happened. But that's the nature of faction. And that's why the Lord has told you not to even greet one, you know. And so we have to be obedient to what the word is. And also, as David and I are held responsible for the people that we come in contact with, to keep them from the wolves. And so that's why we open up these and expose the enemy for what he is, in hopes that at some point down the road that God would grant repentance to him and bring him back in. But in the meantime, we're to, you know, just to obey the scriptures. Praise God. Anybody got anything else? I'm not going to let the clock tonight run us. If someone has something they'd like to share, go for it. Or question, go for it.
Michael, I would just say that I pretty much agree with what Malcolm just said there. And also what Chad said earlier about feeling something in the spirit. I always felt that with Michael right from the beginning. Didn't really say anything to anybody else, just to my wife. I made the comment that didn't know what was, there was something that wasn't right. And I guess it proved to be right. So that's all.
Amen, brother. All right. Well, that hindrance is gone. Praise the Lord. Andrew, you got anything you'd like to share?
No, not really. No, it's just maybe one time there was a doubt about something with Michael Montana, but I just can't recall what it was, and I just shook it off and said, no, it couldn't possibly be something. Anyway.
Okay. Praise God. Listen, if anybody has had any dreams or words that they'd like to share with us about any of these people here in the last little bit, we'd be glad, we would love for you to send them to us so we can put them with the rest of them, and we'd appreciate that. Listen, also, please send me your email so that when we do have something come up on the conference call, I can just email everybody with a group email and let you know what's going on, and I would appreciate it. Hang on just a second. Dave is laying over here in the bed, and he's coaching me a little bit. So y'all have to bear with me. Please send your emails to me. Even if you send them to me before, send them to me again. MSHare0711 at gmail.com. I had to think for a minute there. M is in Michael, S is in Sam, HARE0711 at gmail.com. Send me your emails and I'll be sure to put you on the conference call emails. And anytime we have any kind of an announcement, we'll send them out to you. Yes, go ahead.
I think Chad might be in there too.
Sorry.
Wait a minute. I got too many people trying to talk at one time.
Is that you, Chad? Go ahead, Chad.
No, I'm sorry. I had to email Michael, but I need. I'm ready to write now. It's mshair0711@gmail.com, right?
Yes, sir. That's it.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Okay. What I just wanted to say was that I shared on a Tuesday night quite some time ago. It's on the recording. I don't know which date it was, but it's one of the conference fellowship recordings. And I've talked to David about this, but I had had a dream after talking with Michael and Angelica. I'd had a very, very, very strong dream. And I shared the dream on the conference call and gave a little bit of my take on what it meant. And right after I was done with the dream, Michael came on, and you can listen to this in the recording. He came on and basically reiterated all the stuff that he had said before, that the dream was counteracting. And it was like he understood how I was applying the dream, and it didn't set well. And, I mean, you can hear that in the recording if you want, if you can track down which one it was. But that really, when I heard that, I thought, oh, my goodness, I can't believe this is on a conference call. This is for real, and everybody can hear it. So, anyway, if anybody wants to look that up, that's back in the archives somewhere.
Yeah, you know, Malcolm, since all this has transpired here just this last week or so, we've had two or three people say the same thing, that they noticed he would come back and counteract against something, like similar to what you're talking about. So, yeah.
Yeah, it was really strong, and at that point I thought, I've got him on my contact. This is getting out of hand, so...
Yeah. Okay. Even you people that are not on the conference call tonight, if you'll go ahead and send me your email, those of you that are listening to the recordings, send me your emails, and I'll be sure to put you on the list. And when we have an announcement to make, I'll be able to put you on it. Thanks you so much. All right. Anybody else before we get out of here? It's been a heartbreaking week. But it's been one of a cleansing that God's doing. And when God does it, things are going to work out fine. He's cleaning the bride up. Praise God. Lord, we just thank you tonight for all you're doing. We thank you for your cleansing power in these that are factious right now, Lord. We know that we're believing for every one of them, Lord, to come back out of that mess. Come back out of that 7 years of grass eating and come back into the knowledge and the humbleness of who they are in Christ. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that Thursday night's going to be an awesome time, Father. We're not going to have any more communications whackouts like we had tonight, because the Lord God Almighty is in charge, and we praise you for it. Lord, protect everybody here. Give them a good night's sleep. And give them nothing but sweet dreams of you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hang on just a minute.
Hey, good night, y'all. Bless you.
That's David.
Stay safe.
Did y'all hear him? Good night, everybody.
Yeah.